today is still God. Let's sing that chorus again.
The mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is the God in the bad times. Oh, the God of the day. God of the night.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one tonight. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews 6, verse 17 and 18. And just to remember us again, prayer and Bible study is normal Thursday night. Saturday, we're meeting at 10 o'clock at Bloody Bridge in Newcastle for the water baptism. The 7 people so far wanting baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come along if you can, support. If you can't come, pray that the Lord will have his way. It might be rain, it might be snowing, it might be sunshine. But either way, we're going ahead, rain, hail, or snow. It's not going to make any difference. We're going to sow anyhow. And we're not going to worry who's there and who's not there. And it might be packed and there might be nobody. It's not going to make no difference. We're going anyhow. And we'll get water somewhere up there. I'm sure I will have a baptismal service. And I'll tell you, it's a good thing. You follow in God's word when you do it. You follow in scripture. It's commanded of the Lord. And if you've never been baptized in true Christian baptism, come along. If you're a real believer, and we'll baptize you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. Isn't God good?
Amen.
God is so good, praise God. So that's the plan. And then our brother Gary's going to be preaching for us next Sunday morning. So pray for all the meetings and just lift each other up in prayer before the Lord. Let's read Hebrews 6. And I was going to preach on God's word by himself. Then changing my mind today. But I'm still on the same sort of lines, what we're on this morning. Just a bit more, and just trust the Lord will bless somebody, touch somebody. Verse 17 and 18 of Hebrews 6. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation, who have fled from the refuge, to lay hold on the hope set before us. For refuge, to lay hold on the hope set before us. Let's bow our heads tonight. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. And we'll remember you in prayer. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight. In the name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We approach you reverently and humbly this evening, Lord, and we know that you have promised for two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in the midst and that to bless us. Lord, we need your blessing. We thank you that we've been singing, you're the God in the mountain and in the valley. You're still God. No matter what we go through or what we face in life, you remain God. We bless you that you promised you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So we thank you tonight you haven't left us, you haven't forsaken us. We thank you that we can call in your name and we have a privilege as a blood-bought people of the Lord Jesus Christ to come boldly into your presence, into your throne room, where we may find grace to help in the time of need. Father, I pray for every hand raised. You know every individual, every need, every situation. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll meet every need, financial, physical, spiritual. Meet the need we ask in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost by faith right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. Pray you'll touch every man and woman in this room. Give us perfect liberty to speak your word. And Lord, touch the lives of men and women tonight. Stir all of us up, encourage everyone. Restore the backslider. Lord, you know those that have got cold. And Lord, those that's backslidden, I pray that you'll speak to them and you'll deal with them. Yes. And that you restore them to yourself. In Jesus' precious name. Heal the sick and the afflicted. Touch your brother Andrew, I pray, at this time. Continue to bring him to full health and strength. Touch your wee brother Laurie as well, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. And any others that need your touch, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen and comfort those that's bereaved at this time. Lord, and just have your way amongst us. Bless your word now to our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The mutability of God's counsel. The mutability of God's counsel, that which the Lord was pleased clearly to manifest to the heirs of promise, is here said to be the immutability of his counsel. And the word counsel means to will, or the meaning by the will of God. It was the will of God that Jesus Christ was sent the whole way to Calvary. It was the will of God that Jesus Christ died, shed his blood for mankind. That was the will of God. That was God's plan and God's will. It was God's will that he was raised again from the dead on the third day. That was God's will. It was God's will that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon those that were waiting on it and believed on it. And God's will that Peter was restored and strengthened his brethren, which has already had been spoken, and God brought to pass what he said, just like we mentioned this morning. With whom did God take counsel? With no man, with angels. God took counsel with himself. And when we read this verse, and we read this morning, God could swear by no greater. There was no one greater for God to swear by than himself. And God swore by himself, because there was nobody greater than God. This is the highest form, the highest you can go, the highest there is. This is Almighty God. It is he that done it, he that willed it, he that performed it. And this is the counsel of God's will we want to look at tonight. The immutability of God's counsel. Then what is the counsel of God? The counsel of God's the thoughts of God. God had a thought. God had a thought. Then God expressed that thought and it comes forth. Now, let me take a moment before I go further into this. And I have a bit of hay in the fork tonight, but I won't keep you as long. You or me could have a thought. I am the type of fella, if I was building the shed or doing something, no plans, nothing, I could build it. I'm confident I can do it. Done it many times. I could take the word, measure nothing, write nothing down, just start it and I'll do it. I've done it loads of times. Sheds and different things. But then sometimes when I do it, I'll stand back and I'll say to myself, I could have done that better. I could have done that different. If I was to do it again, I wouldn't do this and I wouldn't do that. Who's built the house? I'm sure maybe some people here built a house or been working on a job for this house is built. And as soon as that house is built, and if you live in it or you build it for somebody, you'll look back and you'll say to yourself, you know, if I was doing it again, I wouldn't have done that in that house. I'd have done that different. There's a room, not really much good for anything. It's a waste of space. If I was to do it again, I'd have done that different, I'd have turned this, turned that. Well, you see, God never worked like that. Because the immutability of God's counsel is so supreme, and God being super abundant above everything else and everyone else, when he does something, it's absolutely perfect. There's nothing can be added to it to make it superior or more supreme. It is absolutely perfect the way he does it. And the cross was not the work of the Jewish hands, but the cross was the work of Almighty God. Bringing to pass what he had predetermined. For the Bible says that the Lamb of God was slain in the mind of God before the very foundations of the world. So God predetermined that Christ would go to the cross. God predetermined it, he willed it, and then he spoke it and it come forth. And he spoke it by inspiring prophets, ordinary men, but yet they were prophets of God. And many of them, many times, didn't even know themselves what they were actually saying. When Isaiah is inspired and he preaches and says, a virgin shall conceive. Something totally outlandish, but God spoke it through him. And hundreds of years passed, but God brought it past. Who did he counsel with to decide would he do it? Nobody. Nobody. You see, what is the counsel of God but the thoughts of God? Acts 13:36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was led unto his fathers, and he saw corruption. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ never saw corruption. And even though David did the will of God and he fell asleep in them things, David saw corruption. But Jesus Christ never saw corruption. This is the Bible. For God's counsel is God's will. That which God willeth is the best counsel that possibly can be given. How many people today, there's people and they go here, there, everywhere. They're blown with every wind and every wave of doctrine. But the Bible says we are to be established in the present truth. That we're not to be blown to and fro with every wind and wave of doctrine. We have a solid foundation today. God has brought something on the scene to bring us back to the solid foundation, to the apostolic faith, which the early church had. How many people want the will of God? How all of us are guilty. And if you tell me, oh brother, I'm not guilty, I won't believe you. I'll just be honest with you. All of us are guilty. All of us rush into things and we don't lay it before God and find the will of God. We rush into it. And how many times afterwards do we say, you know, I wish I hadn't done that. But God in his mercy still blesses us in everything. But we can know the will of God in a situation. We can know the will of God on any situation. I believe that. The will of God is the ground of the counsel. Immutability, that's what God has. That's what God is. He's unchangeable. Unchangeable. Of his purpose, guaranteed. Of his essence. The perfection of his wisdom. The infiniteness of his goodness. It cannot be pertained any other way. It is God stands alone with it. Nothing else close to it. The absoluteness of his sovereignty, the omnipotency of his power, nothing like it. People talk about devils and demons. Let me tell you, God can put them in his pocket, as it were. Jesus says, I do cures today, miracles tomorrow, and I cast out devils with a finger of God. God made everyone on. They're under him. He is above them all. God in his essence being unchangeable. We read in Malachi 3:6 this morning, for I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore the idea of you praying for a situation, whether it's salvation or sickness, and somebody coming along with some smart ideas to tell you you're wasting your time, God does not do that today. You know by the will of God, which is his word, for testament is a word for will. And New Testament means a new will. You know by the will of God. that it's not God's will that any should perish. So you have a right to pray for them to be saved. You know that the Lord can heal people. You have a right to pray. Because God says it. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. As counsel always must be, needs be so. As darkness cannot come out of light. Darkness cannot come out of light. So nor can changeable counsel come from an immutable nature. And God has an immutable nature. And the wrong counsel cannot come out of that immutable nature, just as light does not come out of darkness. But the light comprehends the darkness. And God is light. He is light. And I tell you, I thank God for the sun, but there's coming a time when the Lamb will be the light thereof. You're not be worrying about the sun in the natural. The Lamb's the light thereof. Now here's another thing. If God's counsel be changed, it must be to be better. Can't be worse. To be better it cannot be. Hear me tonight. If God's counsel is to be changed, it's to be changed to the better. But God's counsel cannot be changed to the better. Because he doesn't do it and then change his mind and say, well, that was all right, but here's a better way. His way is better. It's perfect. That's why we need him. We need him. He's available. For such is the perfection of God's wisdom as at first he determined matters to be best. You see, if you read through the book of Genesis, here's what you read. Get this phrase. Here's what you read when you study the book of Genesis. God made, right? You read God made. And then what else do you read? Here's the thing you read. And he saw it was good. Isn't that right? You will read continually in Genesis, and God saw it was good. And you know the devil came in and tried to stop all that. He didn't come in directly, he came in via the serpent. But then God knew all what was going to happen. Him being God, knowing everything. The end from the beginning and so forth. God knew it. God already had a plan in place to divert superior to that enemy's plan. Who can fight against God? Let me read you this from God. Does God ever change his mind about his word? Paragraph 91. So we see God for not forever change his mind about his original word. But who he calls, that's who he ordains. No one else can take that place. No one can take Moses' place, no matter how many Korahs raised up and how many Dathans. It was Moses God called regardless. And we could look at someone and we could say, I'll tell you what, I know a fella could do that better. That's good, wonderful. Is he called to do it? Is he called to do it? We could tonight go back and point out all Moses' wrongs. But then if we were in Moses' shoes, what would we have done? This is the thing. This is the thing about it. When I went through and saw about Saul and all the things, I felt myself like Saul at times. When Saul did things he shouldn't have, boy, you could feel where it could have happened. We're only human beings. But God chose Moses. Now to think that God didn't know what Moses would do, I believe he knew everything. And everything's for a reason and a purpose. And no doubt, even though they rebelled, Moses brought them out. And I'll tell you, God used them to bring them out with a mighty hand. That God should be able to discern what is better or worse cannot stand with infinite wisdom and understanding, such as the perfection of God's wisdom, as he said, not only to have counsel and wisdom, but also by an excellency and a property
understand everything, knowing all things, that's God. Now I know there's a lot of people that meet at work and when you're about, and they are know-alls. And there's nothing as bad as a know-all. I was doing a wee job for a man yesterday. I'm not mentioning any names. I was doing this job for this man yesterday. This man bred a particular breed of cattle. And the hierarchy tried to stop him. But they didn't realize his wife was a top barrister. She defeated them at court. Because he mixed cattle. And they said, oh, he couldn't do that. He was ruining the breed. And he proved. 3 different milking breeds. Pedigree. And they were off the same bull. Back in the pedigree, there was a certain bull was in them 3 different cattle. Yet, they weren't mentioned that they were that breed. They were a different breed. But that bull was in them. And he proved it. And the judge threw the whole thing out of court and he won it. He couldn't do a thing about it. But this man was just saying, he had this heifer, she's starting to give an awful trouble. When she calved, and John there keeps cattle, he know what this is about. If you don't keep cattle, you might not understand this, but she was one of them cows she got to be. When she calves, she'll kill you, basically. You aren't going here, she'll do you in. And he seen her watching his son one day, and he was only a wee fella, and she went for him. And he says, I'm going to have to get rid of that. It'll kill him. But while he was getting ready to load, he had all planned how he would load it on the trailer. But he says his brother, I won't mention his name, but he's a know-all according to this fella. Says, my brother, who's a total know-all, he just happened to come and said, oh, why are you loading her like this? I would load her like this way and I'd do this and I'd do that. He says, oh, I know all that. Well, then she went for him. Oh, I wouldn't have that about when he says, that's the exact reason I'm here. That's why I'm getting rid of it, but he was a know-all. And you'll always get a know-all. And where you're doing a job or doing something, there's somebody that could do it better than you, and they wouldn't do it like that. Well, here tonight, there's somebody I'm showing you, and you won't be telling him. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't do it like that. He'll tell you. Because his is superior to law. And he is God Almighty. And he's a way and a plan of doing things. And it can't be changed. Because he's all knowing. He's immutable. Proverbs 8:14 says, counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. That's God. Here's another thing. That God should not care whether the better or worse fallout cannot stand with the infinite goodness of God. Did the Lord at first so order all things? That's when he took a view of them. He saw them all to be very good. I already mentioned Genesis 1 verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made and behold, it was very good. Now you remember when God first made man, and the woman, coming from the man, they had no flaws at all, you know. They must have been something else. You see, people drawing pictures and they're ugly and all that. I don't believe that. I do not believe that for a minute. I believe they were absolute perfection. People talk about beauty in a woman and beauty in a man. I believe they had it. They were perfect. Perfect. Now, I'm not talking about what the world classes as beautiful. I'm talking about what God classes as beautiful. They had it. And the idea, the first man, Adam, had no choice. And he didn't. He got Eve. But I'll tell you what, she is the best thing for him. Because the choice God gave him was the right choice. I know she fell and he took her, being a type of Christ, all of God's plan. She is the best thing for him. And when you get the one that God has for you, somebody else might think that is the one, but that's the best one. But if you get the one you want, that's maybe not meant to be, then that's wrong. But you want God's choice. Do you ever hear people saying, well, I would never put the empire together. But 30 years later, they're still going. Knowing maybe somebody wouldn't put certain people together, but it's in a queer job they didn't. Hopefully God does it. And God says, what I've joined, let no man pull asunder. When God joins something, nobody is to pull it asunder if God's really in it. Psalms 45 and 6 says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a scepter. And it's a scepter of righteousness, isn't it? Can it be thought that he should care how things fall out? That God be overswayed by superior power and forced to suffer worse to the fallout, cannot stand with absoluteness of his sovereignty and omnipotency of his power. Can't happen. See, the idea that God should have did this or that, nonsense. God's in full control. Everything's happening for a reason. All these things going on in the world shouldn't worry us. Now, I know Donald Trump, he thinks he owns that Strait of Moose or whatever you call that place. But we know he doesn't. That's nonsense. And we know them other boys that's claiming it, they don't own it either. But somebody owns it. But it's not going to matter when the millennium reign comes in. I'll tell you, it's not going to really matter. There's a fact of things here, isn't it? Out comes a fact of things. And that's why we need God's wisdom and God's guidance. Psalms 115 verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Not wonderful. God's done what he pleased. If God's not ruled by a group of wee men that think certain things should be done a certain way, God done what he pleased. God maybe pick a fella like, look at some of the men God's picked. William Branham, 7th grade education. The man had basically no education. God picked him. Smith Wigglesworth, he couldn't talk right. The man stuttered and stammered. God picked him. Moses, he couldn't talk either. He said that. And God gave him Aaron to be a spokesman for him because he complained about how he talked. And I'll tell you what, many times we could say of ourselves, there's so many things we'd love to do better, have better. But if God's placed you or me in a certain thing, God hasn't done it by mistake. It's for a reason. So we can clearly see God as absolute immutability in his counsel, unchanging. This is one special point wherein we ought to be followers of God, namely, immutably in our good. Counsels and purposes, we must be steadfast and unmovable. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. You see, we're not doing it on the man, we're doing it on the God. Now, even in the natural, the Bible tells us whatsoever we do, put our hand forth to do it with all our might unto the Lord. That's why we're doing it, unto the Lord. We must continue in the faith, grounded and settled, Colossians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which we have preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. We're to continue on. Our counsels may remain immutable. They must be surely sounded, grounded on a good foundation, which is God's revealed will. We may not be rash, over sudden in our counsels. And it's easy to be rash about something, isn't it? You know what they say here in Ireland, jump first, look later. That's a saying, jump first, look later. But the Bible says, wait on the Lord. God's immutability is good ground of submission to the manifestation thereof. It is impossible that God's counsel be altered. It is therefore in vain to struggle against it, but to yield unto it. And God wants us to yield to him, unto his will and his way. We can absolutely be sure of something. You know that? God's word, salvation, it's sure. We're not hoping we're saved. We know we're saved. We are sure. 1 Corinthians 1:7-8. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Who begun it? You didn't. He did. You're here tonight to serve the Lord because he started with you. He performed a good work in you. And the one that began it or started it will continue it. But we need to submit, don't we, to the Lord. God is immutable and his word stands fast. Man is God's creation here on earth. We're God's creation. We know that. But man reasons. Many times his thoughts, his mind can be the enemy. Isn't that right? And it can destroy the faith of God in us. Reasoning. Reasoning. People get prayed for healing, then they start to reason. While a renewed mind, of course, would be the friend of God. Disciplined thinking according to the word of God will cause faith to bring forth what God promised would do. Man cannot talk about without thinking. That's why he heard saying, he said it before he thought. Well, he had to think to say it. So that's not really true. He said it before he thought. He can speak too soon. Isn't that right? Many of us are guilty. Many times I've said things and then I'll say to myself, wish I hadn't said that. That done more harm than it did good. Wish I hadn't said it. You see, he did think, but he didn't think long enough. Isn't that right? You cannot speak without thinking unless you're under the inspiration of the devil or God's God. One or the other. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspires you. A man that's filled with the Holy Spirit and inspired by the Holy Spirit could speak and he never thought nothing about it because the Bible says his understandings. He doesn't know. But it's through the Spirit. That can happen. That's God. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth the answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. A true believer will stop and think before he talks, but a wicked man is characterized by the fact that he doesn't think at any length of time at all. He just says it. That's why the world tell their jokes, they do it all. They don't care who hears it. He just lets it roll. See, what we say, there's power in the tongue. Power in the tongue. You could really offend somebody. You could really hurt somebody. With a statement you make, you mightn't think it. You might think, oh, it's the truth, and I'll just let them have it. You can let all guns blaze. But all's guns blaze. Like the fella used to say, the evangelist comes through, and he lets both guns rip, and then the pastor's picking up the pieces for the next 6 months. And there's truth in that. We're to think before we speak. That's what the Bible teaches us. We're to believe the word of God. See an original text, and I'm almost finished tonight. Hebrews 6:17 says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs a promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath. Whereby God manifested this mutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. It is basically a promise to be faithful. And God has given us a promise that he will be and is faithful to his word. He's faithful. We saw this morning and showed you lots of scriptures how God was faithful to his word. He speaks, look how he made promise to Abraham, what he said. Hebrews 6:13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. And look at James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God. We have to believe God. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So when you believe God, you can be called the friend of God. Abraham believed God. He responded to the word he heard by faith. He didn't respond to the word he heard. He didn't go out of the meeting and say, did you ever hear the like of that? How would God do that? Did you ever hear anything like that? How would God ever do that? Abraham went out and he says, I believe it. He believed. He's recorded there in Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. If you want to read it at home, Hebrews 11, I'll read you verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And when you read through Hebrews 11, Abel by faith. And you keep reading by faith. Rahab the harlot by faith. Every one of them by faith believed. They believed by faith God was going to do it. Now maybe you're praying about someone and it's not someone you'd share in the meeting. Maybe it's a secret thing. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's someone at home you don't want anybody to know about. But you can still believe. God will change it. God can do it. Believe it. Believe in the immutability of God's counsel that God can do it. God can answer you. God can change a situation. God can change the circumstances. You believe it by faith. Believe what God says. God says, you ask anything in my name, you can have it. That's what he says. We need to believe it. God says it. We need to believe it. God's able to do it. You believe it tonight? Let's stand on our feet tonight. Praise God. The Lord bless each one this evening. Praise God. Let's just close our eyes for a moment this evening. Isn't God good? Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight that your counsel is superior to any other. You're Almighty God. When you do a thing, you can say it is good. Father, I pray that you'll do a thing amongst us that you'll be fit to say it's good. Lord, we need you to move in these meetings. We need you to move in our lives. We need you to move in our homes. We need you to move in every one of us as individuals. Lord, we want more of you. We can say with a song, I've had it all. But what I need is more of you. More of that same spirit. More of that same anointing. Coming upon your people. Coming on us like it ran down Aaron's beard. Let the Holy Spirit come over your people. Renew men and women tonight. Refresh them. Strengthen them and touch them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Add to your work such as shall be saved. Have your way, we pray. Fathers, we prepare for this baptismal service. Lord, of thy which tarry to Saturday. We're asking you for wisdom and guidance. We're asking you, Lord, that you'll have your way. And Lord Jesus, that men's hearts will be touched. Touch everyone that's going to go through the waters. Identify them to all that they're dying and rising with you. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Bless them for the act of faith. Do them good, I pray. Father, I ask you that everything will work out right. Lord, that everything will be well. And I pray for everyone in this house tonight. Some's went through, Lord, real discouragement of late. But I pray you'll turn it, O God. Lord, that you'll fix things up. That everything will come about right. Straighten it up, O God. Lord, just move in every situation, in every circumstance. Have your way, I pray. Father, move in these meetings on the Thursday night. Lord, I pray you'll give us a hunger and a thirst for you. Help us with your word. Lord Jesus, just help us to say something that'll help somebody to go that extra mile. Father, grant it, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for all the believers tonight that's got slack, maybe backslidden. Some tonight that don't come no more. Lord, I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll speak to them. Lord, your sheep hear your voice. Lord, I'm asking you to speak to them sheep. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, have your way, I pray. Move amongst us. Bless all the brothers that take part in the meetings, the elders, the deacons, the different brothers that speak, and those that get opportunity to go to speak other places. Just bless them and make them a blessing. And Father, may you just keep us as the apple of your eye. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray for Donald Trump tonight. Pray you'll give that man wisdom. And I pray for your own people, Israel, that surround them with your mercy and your grace and the angels of the Lord, that they'll triumph and come out in the victory, and that you'll bless them and curse their enemies in Jesus' precious name. Father, this evening, bless us as the royal seed of Abraham. We have believed. Help us, Lord, to reach others for you, I pray. Lord, we don't know how long we've left. We know everything's more or less fulfilled. And you're coming again. And there's going to be a catching away of those that's waiting and ready. Just any moment now, the coming of the Lord is imminent. Father, let us be that people with the lamps burned and trimming bright. Lord, don't let us set the lamp under the bushel. Let us keep it out, for it'll blur out light and save some wayfaring man or woman from the broad road of destruction onto the straight, narrow road of life. Oh God, I pray you light us up with the light of God. Lord, I thank you for the words in Malachi, for the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Thank you, Lord, that you said those that be strong in their God shall do exploits. Father, cause us to be people that will do exploits for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Bless everyone tonight and meet every need in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as a brother comes. God bless each one.
Singing of a little chorus there, we haven't sang it here. Honestly, I don't know if we've got the words for it. I cast all my care upon you. Does anybody know that little chorus? I'm going to try and sing it. Just not the right key. I cast all my care upon you. I lay all my burdens down at your feet. Anytime I don't know. Different key, praise God. First time of doing it, but let us try a different key.